In two significant studies, the Justice Inspector General has found the FBI does an accurate job of stopping gun sales to the ineligible. But why such people often get guns anyhow? And it finds the Drug Enforcement Administration still has serious problems policing use of informants. IG Michael Horowitz joins me with more. The firearm purchase denials through the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, that's something you look at from time to time. What do the latest findings show?
Well, we took a look at it from the standpoint of denials, because those are the records that were available to us, and how the FBI, ATF, and the U.S. Attorney's Office handled denials of attempted purchases of firearms. And what we found that when individuals who went to try and buy guns filled out the forms, and it turned out they were prohibited from purchasing the gun, the information went to the FBI. There were 51 million such requests to purchase, and about 1% of those 51 million were denied by the FBI because the individual was a prohibited purchaser. And what we found was that in over 99% of the incidents we tested, the FBI accurately denied the requested purchase because the individual was in fact prohibited by law.
So 99% of the 1% was accurate.
Was accurate.
That sounds good.
Yeah, we found overall that the FBI was doing a very good job and had an extremely low error rate. The of course, flip side of that is when an error does occur, the consequences can be very serious. And sadly, that's what we saw in the shooting at the church in Charleston, South Carolina, where the alleged shooter, his attempted purchase of that firearm should have been denied, but wasn't.
And what about approvals that should have been denied? That's the flip side of all of this.
Right. And so the issue with approvals is under the law, 48 hours after the review and decision is made by the FBI, the record is removed from the system. So we have no way of determining whether the approval accuracy rate is high or low. The records just don't exist for us to be able to do that on.
And that's a legal requirement stemming to fears in Congress that there would be some kind of a national registration or database of gun owners.
Well, it's certainly a requirement of federal law. I don't, you know, necessarily have familiarity with precisely what the reasons were for various decisions there, but that is the law.
So given this pretty good accuracy rate, this excellent accuracy rate, what recommendations do you have?
Well, the issue that we found in particular related to state information and state database information, because not only can firearm owners, store owners, go to the FBI with these forms, they can also go to their state systems. And in fact, the states handled about 68 million transactions, so even more than the FBI did during this period. And what we found was we tested 631 state process transactions, and there we determined that in 630 of them, the states hadn't fully updated the NICS database system after their check or informed the FBI of the transaction's outcome. And so that obviously is a very significant concern.
Well, how is it that some states use the federal and some use their own system? I thought there was a national system for everyone to test database.
Right. There is a national system, but states are a point of contact for the gun stores to reach out to if they want to go through the state system, through the state point of contact. They query one NICS database. And the issue is the state updating the database and is the FBI updating the database every time they do one of these checks? And that was the area where we found reason for concern, given our finding that in 630 of the 631 tests that we ran on the state checks, the information hadn't been updated in the federal database. And in fact, that's the reason cited by the FBI for how the purchase in Charleston, South Carolina occurred.
That is to say, South Carolina had not updated its database to the latest version.
Right. Had all the information been in the database from state records, the FBI query of the system when the attempted transaction was made would have identified the fact that the alleged shooter was a prohibited purchaser.
We're speaking with Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General of the Justice Department. So is there a mechanism by which the FBI can, I don't know, compel or strongly encourage the states to? It sounds like something they would need to keep up with on a daily basis.
That's right. And one of the things that the department has said it is attempting to do is increase its staffing, not only at the federal level, but also providing grant and other funding to states so that they can better manage the state systems and ensure that records are being updated regularly. There's also been a report, a memorandum issued by the Attorney General to the U.S. Attorney community on the federal level to make sure that they're promptly following up and updating the federal NICS system.
And I want to switch gears here to another recent report and something that has been in the news over the past year, and that is the way the Drug Enforcement Administration handles its confidential sources and some of the improper payments that were made to people that really didn't need to be paid.
Yeah, we recently issued our second report in the past year and a half about how the DEA is handling their informants. Our report in 2015 found that they were not sufficiently following the Attorney General guidelines on the use of confidential informants. And in this report, we found some serious deficiencies that required DEA to have significant improvements to their system for how they oversaw their informants, how they monitored them, how they paid them, how they maintained records regarding them, how they directed them, a whole series of issues that we found that were of significant concern to us.
I mean, in one case here cited right early in the report, there was a source reactivated who had been deactivated for basically lying.
Yeah, it was concerning to us that what we saw was a source who had been previously deactivated for committing perjury in numerous instances was reactivated by the DEA and reactivated for a period of 5 years, paid about $500,000 by 13 field offices during that time period, until that person was deactivated again because the U.S. Attorney's Office found that he had perjured himself again. And so here you have a system set up to ensure, or that should be ensuring, that all testimony, all information provided in a courtroom, including by informants, is being provided by individuals who have track records of reliability. And that certainly wasn't the case here. And during that five-year period, that individual was paid $500,000 by the DEA.
So the recommendations here are basically follow the rules, guys.
Correct. And make sure you're regularly overseeing your informants and that you have policies in place that ensure oversight over informants.
Yeah, so it's really behavior on the part of those directly using these informants as well as those signing the checks.
That's correct. And it's ensuring that there's a significant level of review within the organization for these kind of high-risk informants so that it isn't left just to the line agent to make that decision. The line agent's obviously a very important part of the process, but the key is adequate supervision at not only first level, but when need be, second and third level supervisors.
And in gathering the information for these most recent reports, looking at this from a general IG standpoint, were you able to get all of the documentation and records that you needed, your investigators, to come up with the findings and the recommendations?
So the reason that it required us to do two reports, one last year and one this year, is precisely because we didn't get cooperation from the DEA at the outset of the review. We started this review actually in February of 2014, and it took us nearly a year to get the records we needed to do the audit. That's why we issued an interim report last year, because we found so many serious issues that we thought the public and policymakers needed to hear about those right away, and then we issued this full report this year. The good news is mid-year last year in 2015, we started to get far more complete and fulsome cooperation from the DEA and have seen a much greater willingness of the DEA to work with us on these issues and, particularly importantly, to take action to address our recommendations.
Michael Horowitz is the Inspector General at the Justice Department. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
It's great to be back. Thank you, Tom.